Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. Today, we are zoning in on what is now officially one of the world's hottest destinations, Namibia. While the nation has been turning heads for some time, the latest news is truly staggering. The 2025 Greenfields FDI Performance Index just released ranks Namibia as number one in Africa and number two globally for attracting new investment. Building on the powerful story told in the country's inaugural Foreign Direct Investment Report, to help us understand this incredible momentum, we have two distinguished guests. First, from the very heart of the country's investment promotion efforts, we welcome Ms. Margaret Gustavo, the Executive Director, Competitiveness and Branding from the Namibia Investment Promotion Development Board, the NIPDB. Great to have you, Margaret.
Thank you, Jackpot.
Thank you, Margaret. And providing essential on-the-ground legal and commercial perspective, we are joined by Mr. Patrick Kauter. Patrick is the new managing partner for CDH Namibia from the 1st of September. Patrick, congratulations on the new role and welcome.
Thank you, Jaguar.
So first, the big picture, unpacking Namibia's success story. Margaret, let's start with that foundational FDI report. It's a milestone document in itself. What is the single most important message you want international investment community to take away from it?
Maybe the reason why we did that was, you know, just to showcase the impact of the work that was being done by the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board. We put it together with the Bank of Namibia to show like where we were and to show like, look, when we put in place things like investor services and facilitation, how that facilitates investors coming to our country. So we've done a bit of work in terms of promoting Namibia as an investment destination. We've done a lot of work to facilitate that, but we hadn't really captured it somewhere. So we captured it for ourselves in our reports, but we wanted to ensure that everybody can see where are the areas where investment is going into and that we're sharing it with the rest of the world with the purpose of putting Namibia out there as an investment destination that has, with some of the success stories that we've highlighted in the report, that is credible. There's still work to be done. We're not saying that we are, you know, 100% ready. There's a lot of work to be done on the ground, especially around ease of doing business. You know, just the work that we've put in place. I think hand-holding investors through a process should not be the case, but at the moment, that's what we're doing. While we're sorting out the elements in terms of customer service and just service delivery from us as government to the investors. So it's really just to showcase Namibia as a credible investment destination and how we can actually turn the interest into capital deployed into the country.
Well, thank you, Margaret. That's definitely astounding. And the numbers are remarkable in the report. Clearly, Namibia is doing a lot of stuff right. So showing on the robust 56 billion Namibian dollars investment, even outside of what we call the major oil and gas discoveries, can you speak to the increasing diversity of investments in Namibia success story?
I think there's been a lot of, I think the bigger chunk, as you rightfully highlighted, I mean, the majority of that was really oil and gas investors, the big players coming into the country, investing in the country, their exploration, etc. And then the 56 billion was predominantly in the energy sector. And we've seen investments in the agriculture sector, which were priority sectors that we were driving. But energy really focused on bringing down the cost of energy in Namibia. One of the key drivers that we've had is our diversification strategy. How do we diversify the Namibian economy from the extractive industry, mining, etc., to more value addition and manufacturing and looking at other priority sectors to allow for employment creation in different sectors. I mean, if I've got a gift in singing, surely the creative industry should be available to me to participate gainfully in that sector. I mean, if you look at that risk, that 56 billion Namibian dollars outside of oil and gas was really in energy, you would know the story of one high iron that was set up in the coast. Kenergy also in the coast, and that's really producing green hydrogen, but also the schools or really the training that they are ramping up now to train people in the sector. And High Iron is a great story for us to tell. And then you've got Hyphen that's also busy doing their feasibility, etc. And then we're looking at still investments made into the mining sector. I think you've seen the Sino, the new gold mine that was a Chinese investment that has been made into the country. So I think we're trying to move away from just the extractive and really going into other sectors to create employment for Namibians that are interested in other sectors and not just accounting or law.
Yeah, no, definitely, Margaret. So diversity clearly is key in the rankings also. And if you look at that, so with that in mind, what is the specific deliberate policy actions and reforms that Namibia has done to ensure that you attract these type of investments and underground projects, the projects that you've just mentioned?
The report basically showed the, you know, sort of how from 2009 till 2020, there was like a steady attraction of investment. There was no real jump in that. I mean, 50 billion versus 114 billion since 2021 to date, to 2024, to end of 2024. 2021 was one, the setting up of the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board. But two, it's also the working together, the collaborative nature of the different government agencies delivering on service through the one-stop center. So the NIPDB also has a one-stop center. That one-stop center offers investor services, attracting, you know, like as investors come in, how quickly can I set up a business? So that ease of doing business is being taken care of through that one-stop center. The one-stop center is currently only physical, and we are looking now to how do we make it also more digital? How do we digitalize the one-stop center to ensure that we really are providing that quicker turnaround times in terms of service delivery for investors? On the other end, we also offer facilitation in terms of when an investor comes to a country, I want to do a due diligence on your country. How does it look like? Where do I go to? How can I come to Namibia and really look at, do my study of a specific sector while I'm there? Or how often can I come in and do that due diligence before I make a decision for your country? So we've done that under our investment promotion team, and they really drive that, working hand in hand with our investors, taking them to specific meetings where they need to go to and giving them the necessary information they need to do that. Then government has been working on the Namibia Investment Promotion Facilitation Bill. That's still in the works. I believe that Her Excellency has sort of given us a bit of a challenge to ensure that that is done before the end of the year, to have a law that actually backs up investment attraction with key incentives in there. The Ministry of Finance has done a lot of work with the tax incentives, that the tax reforms that have come. I think when we started, taxes were still at 32%. This year, they are at 30%. And as from next year, I think the next financial year, we even going down further to 28%. So just offering that incentive. We're still working on other incentives for the, you know, different industries, the different sectors that we are promoting. And that's in the pipeline, which should actually be embedded in the Namibia Investment Promotion and Facilitation Bill that will become an act once it's promulgated. And then the input that we've been giving as NIPDB, we are not owners of any law or any policies of the country. Government sets the policy. We're basically giving them insights from the private sector's point of view. Look, this is what it will look like. This is what investors want. This is what private sector envisages from these specific sectors. And how can we make that happen? So again, you know, the classic government is there to create a conducive environment, and private sector comes in and creates the necessary employment that's needed in the sectors or and in the country. So those are the key ones that I can comfortably speak to and just give you an overview of what we've done. And I think, just to reference again, our diversification strategy, that strategy was put in place also, I think, 2021, 2022. Let's diversify. Namibia had a report where, if we look at the skill sets that we have, the human resources that we have, and then we look at the natural resources that we have, there's an amount of capacity or skill level that can actually help Namibia create about 91 new products. And those were also adding value. So things like, what do we have? We know that Namibia has got years and years of experience in terms of mechanics and bolts and fixing cars, etc. But that skill set can actually be used to sort of manufacture car parts. So is there an opportunity for Namibia to enter into that? But given, I think, some of the rules, our customs union, etc., all of those things need to be considered. So we can't necessarily move away from that. We're not there yet, but those are some of the plans that Namibia is looking into. But that diversification in there are something called productivity task forces. So we looked at what are the key sectors that we are driving. Let's take energy, for instance, as I mentioned earlier, to bring down the cost of energy production. So the input cost into manufacturing in the country. Number two, we have a productivity task force on high value fruit, which is our blueberries, our grapes, as well as our dates. And number three, we're now working on foam. And we should be putting one together for water and ensuring that there is water supply to our different industries to ensure that that happens. So those productivity task forces are looking at what are the constraints that are keeping the sector from growing. And then as part of that, the policy is like, or the work that we've been doing right now is to, how do we remove those constraints to allow for Namibia to attract more investments into those specific sectors? So we've seen the growth, at least in the high value fruit. When we started off blueberries, there was only one blueberry farmer. Now there are two. And then there was one farmer who actually was growing asparagus in the north of Namibia. And it just didn't make financial sense for them. So they pulled out, but instead of just pulling out completely, they started growing grapes. So we've also got a grape farm now in the north of Namibia. So agriculture has seen a lot of that transformational investments in that, and not just the normal, let's grow maize meal or maize, or let's grow wheat, had really like high value products that we are exporting now. And then we want to add more value to some of our one scale things like onions, tomatoes, potatoes, etc. And then how do we add value to those products in the country? So those are some of the things that the country has been putting in place to ensure that we deliver on attracting investments into the country. So full scale, sort out the constraints, make sure that there are incentives and make it a viable destination for investors to actually come to. And three is looking at policy to ensure policy is ready. So we've done reforms for the NIPFA, which is the Investment Promotion Act. We're looking at reforms to the Land Bill, reforms to the Data Protection Bill. So again, just ensuring that Namibia is future ready for the investments that we want to attract.
No, definitely. So clearly deliberate policy actions that has been done, and you can tangibly see the results. And again, the stats don't lie. So the reports that we've seen clearly indicate that you are doing the right things. But from an employment and skills development perspective in Namibia, and you've referenced the Namibia Berries Project. So what is happening from an employment creation perspective and skills development perspective with reference to all these investments?
If you look at NIPDB, we don't only have like investment attraction, investor services, and then my department looks at competitiveness and making Namibia a competitive destination and branding the wins that we have in that sector. But we also have a department that focuses on one, small businesses and scaling those small businesses to actually provide services to investors. And number two, we also have another department called Skills, Productivity and Talent. How do we prepare ourselves for the new sectors that are coming that we want to promote as a country? We are currently doing a lot of research to look at the gaps, the skills gaps in the different sectors. If we are promoting these, which will give you an indication, which gives Home Affairs, for instance, an indication of what are some of these skills that we are still developing. Therefore, they are not available, but you've got an investor at your door who wants to come and potentially has that skill way from the country that they come from. And are we sort of looking at providing them an opportunity to work in the country, develop that skill with Namibians, to sort of impart that skill to Namibians? And then at some point, a Namibian can run or can do the very same thing that that person is offering to the Namibian market at the time for that investments that's been made. So that's one. And then we're looking at also, we've launched now sort of an incentive for capacity building and for internships in the country. Because of our huge unemployment numbers, government has said, and many times people can't get employment because why? Back in the days, you needed 10 years experience to get into a menial task. And we're saying, but we're not creating those opportunities for people to gain the experience. So where must they get the experience if they're not in the workplace? Back in the days, we were always in internships. I started off as an intern and then built, you know, you gain that experience and you sort of build your way or grow your way up. And so that's one. Incentives to companies that are taking in interns, and we're giving them tax incentives. So in other words, the tax you would have paid them for that, you get it back from the Ministry of Finance, and not in form of cashback, but basically it's just sort of deducted from your taxes that you would have paid for that. So I think those are some of the initiatives that we are doing. We're also working closely at Green Hydrogen. We're working closely with the universities of Namibia, the University of Namibia, as well as the University of Science and Technology. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the University of Namibia is currently working on setting up a sort of a department for engineering training in green hydrogen, or, you know, the skills that we need in the green hydrogen space. So that's already up and running. And also, we've had some Namibians actually going for training in places like our key partners, key partner countries like Germany and Belgium, to go for training there to prepare themselves to actually work in the sector. And then the others, it's really working with Home Affairs to see how we can make use of foreign skills, so that those skills can help train Namibians in order for Namibians to be employed in the long run. But we have to do that in tandem. We cannot just provide those opportunities for Namibians. Maybe just to add, there's something that we've also been doing, and that is, if we look at the investment that has come, we're also not just looking at you know, anybody that's coming. We're also looking at investors that want to support or working with government to support to get rid of that employment gap that we have. So we are, I mean, in our systems, what we do is when an investor comes, they do tell us, this is the kind of investment I'm making. This is the kind of skill that will be required. We then, for instance, we work then with, like for the MSC cruise ships, we have created opportunities to sort of advertise. They dock in Walvis Bay, but we've advertised for a lot of our young people who are in the tourism sector, for instance, to work on these MSC cruise ships to gain that experience in terms of tourism, working with an international customer base that they would probably not have had if they were just staying at home. So it's those connecting some of our investors that are not necessarily in country, but connecting that skill, go and get a skill in a foreign country outside of Namibia and bring it back and apply it here. So those are some of the things that we are doing and just keeping a record of my investment is so much, I'm going to need this kind of employment. And then those interns that we are training and graduates that we are taking through the processes in different Namibian companies that have invested here, that is also then allowing for the churning of the right skills that we require for the next phase of our country's development.
Definitely. And that's key. Well, thanks, Margaret. That definitely tells a true story about also employment and job creations and skills. And those are things tangibly on the ground that the Namibians also want to see. Now, turning to Patrick, so making it happen, the practical and the legal landscape. So Patrick, this new number one ranking in Africa makes, I think, CDH timing, and there's clearly a host of opportunities developing for investors in a variety of sectors in the diversity of all the different industries that are developing and from a policy perspective that are being catalyzed, as Margaret has set out. So, of course, even in a top-ranked country like Namibia, an investor must navigate practical steps. The FDI report is transparent about challenges like permit and licensing delays. How does a firm like CDH help investors navigate this administrative landscape to keep their projects on track?
This is often where international investors get frustrated, not because Namibia is under investment, but because the institutional machinery can be slower than anticipated. Our role at CDH is to make that process more predictable. We start by mapping every single regulatory requirement across the project lifecycle, from land rights, environmental approvals, energy licenses, exchange control approvals, to labor permits. That roadmap assures investors to see upfront what hurdles lie ahead. At CDH, we engage regulators early, often before applications are submitted. We know which ministries or agencies may need additional supporting documents, and we anticipate those needs instead of reacting to delays. For example, in energy projects, we coordinate with the Electricity Control Board and the Environmental Commissioner to run approvals in parallel rather than sequentially. Finally, we act as project managers for the legal processes, chasing paperwork, clarifying requirements, and ensuring submissions are in the right format the first time. This saves months that will otherwise be lost to back and forth correspondences. In short, our role at CDH is to bridge the gap between Namibia's policy ambition and the practical pace of bureaucracy.
Thank you, Patrick. And I just wanted to, maybe if Margaret, you can add something on this from your side, because I know the NIPDB also actively works in streamlining specific bottlenecks for investors. What is your function in that also?
So we have a one-stop center, and that one-stop center is offering services to investors coming into the country. And that service is anything related to just facilitating that entry into the market, setting up businesses, registering trademarks, understanding the EPL processes where there are any, understanding the licenses and things that we need to apply for, City of Windhoek licenses, etc. So those are some of the things that we are responsible for. So we've got in our offices, Home Affairs is here, but investors need to register their investment with NIPDB in order to use the services. Because if we don't know that you exist, then we can't provide the services to you. So that's what investors need to do. And I think we can share that information with you. So we work closely with investments, and it's really at no cost at this stage, because we just want to make sure that we are able to sort of land that, put it onto our database, understand what type of investments are coming into the country. There has been a sort of a decision decision taken by the previous cabinet that we must digitalize the service and we must fully man the current physical one-stop center that we have. So a mandate given the service is fully manned, that every single organization that needs to be in the one-stop center is in the one-stop center, that there is a representative offering those services to investors. And then number two is now the second step is to digitalize that again to improve on the number of days that we provide services to investors.
Thanks, Margaret. I think that it's a good segue in terms of what Patrick has also mentioned in terms of broadly what is required for the key skills in sectors that are developing. So Patrick, just back to you, and let's focus on the hot sectors. The report shows FDI is heavily directed towards oil and gas exploration, and the new ranking is certainly fueled by the arrival of the global majors, as we can see. What are the top legal considerations that new entrants in Namibia's energy sector need to have on their radar?
Well, Jackwell, Namibia's upstream oil and gas sector is on the verge of rapid transformation. Significant discoveries made in the country's Orange Basin in 2022 and 2023, which include the Graff 1, Venus 1, and Yonka 11 exploration projects, have attracted oil and gas super majors, including Total Energies, Shell, Chevron, and ExxonMobil, as well as multinational energy corporations such as Galp and Qatar Energy. The fields in Namibia's offshore Orange Basin, where Total, Rhino Resources, and Shell drilled multiple exploration wells, hold 11 billion barrels of light oil and 2.2 trillion cubic feet of natural gas reserves. The government of Namibia is encouraging continued exploration, which could lead to the development of oil and gas fields, transportation and storage of petroleum products, and eventually refinery construction and associated infrastructure. However, the reality is that all these subsectors must follow deal structures that align to commercial agreements. This is where CDH come into the picture and fulfill policy and legislation into real and tangible results. Three considerations stands out immediately in my mind. The first is local content. Namibia is finalizing a local content policy for upstream petroleum. Even before it is enacted, regulators are already expecting operators to demonstrate how they will integrate Namibian suppliers, services, and labor into their projects. Getting this right from the beginning is key to building goodwill and ensuring compliance down the road. Second is environmental compliance. Under the Environmental Management Act, exploration and drilling require an environmental clearance certificate supported by full environmental impact assessments. Namibia takes these obligations seriously. Failure to comply can delay or even halt operations. With heightened global ESG expectations, international operators also need to demonstrate that they go beyond compliance to responsible stewardship. Third is the fiscal and contractual structure. Namibia uses a model petroleum agreement that outline the royalty rates, profit well spills, tax terms, and state participation. These agreements are negotiable, but within parameters set by law and policy. Investors need to approach fiscal terms strategically, ensuring bankability while respecting Namibia's right to maximize national benefit. Missteps here can sour relations with government and affect long-term project stability and viability. It's for these reasons that we encourage investors to work with CDH upfront and early in their projects to ensure viability and profitability of their projects.
Thank you, Patrick. There's definitely a lot to be done in making sure that you ultimately have, we talk about renewables, bankable projects, mitigating risk, and making sure the investors and the government benefit and ultimately the citizens. Now, just another question to you, Patrick, again, specific to what you've also mentioned. So, and this is more probably looking at it in a bit more detail. So from a risk mitigation is of the key in any project. What are the unique aspects of conducting due diligences in Namibia, and what specific capabilities does CDH bring to the table to help investors get their deals done successfully?
Well, Jackwell, CDH, with respect to due diligence, is an established corporate law firm of 172 years. And the Namibian firm leverages on its South African and Kenyan counterparts to provide specific expertise in the area of due diligence, structuring commercial contracts, joint ventures and the likes, aided by Namibian partners who have worked in this area, specifically for NAMCOR, which is the National Petroleum Company of Namibia. We have worked for project finance for Standard Bank and for various law firms. So when it comes to that, I think the expertise abounds in this area. And with leveraging and skills transformation within the firm, we cover the broad spectrum of legal expertise required by a commercial law firm of this size. At CDH, we do not regard due diligence as a mere tick box exercise. Investors must account for Namibia's unique land tenure system, where communal land cannot be freely transferred, and leaseholds require approval from land boards or ministries, take into account overlaps between mining rights and surface land rights, because they create a common, frequent source of dispute. Regulatory approvals are equally critical. We scrutinize whether licenses are valid, whether they are transferable, or whether there are hidden compliance obligations. For instance, in mining or energy projects, licenses may carry reporting obligations that, if overlooked, could result in suspension. We can assist in negotiating the petroleum agreement, specifically the stabilization clause, by providing expertise in public international law, international investment law, and host country constitutional law to advise on the legal feasibility and enforceability of clauses, draft tailored provisions for that balance investor protection with state sovereignty, conduct detailed risk analysis, and offer dispute resolution strategies, including arbitration, if the clauses are breached or challenged. Policy risk is another dimension. Namibia is fast moving on local content, green energy, and tax reforms. We combine legal analysis with policy intelligence so investors understand not just what the law says today, but where it is heading. CDA's strength is blending cross-border transaction experiences with in-depth local knowledge. We not only identify risk, but also propose structural solutions. For example, structuring ownership or adjusting financing terms to mitigate regulatory or policy risk. That makes deals bankable and durable.
Thank you, Patrick. We have to also look beyond the transactions. There are things that need to be done. So there are unavoidable employment-related matters that must be dealt with. There are unavoidable commercial disputes, as you mentioned. And with investment, you also need to manage that, because disputes are, by their nature, unavoidable. So there must be mechanisms to deal with that. And I know also from Margaret's side, there has been a lot of discussions around the frameworks around international arbitration, around the New York Convention, and so on, and how to make Namibia even a better destination. So I think it's a good point that you've raised, that all of these things needs to be considered. The market does require a host of skills, and one of the skills that require is the broad stroke also from a legal perspective, and both collaboration between law firms and different professionals and experts are a necessary requirement to ensure obviously Namibia achieves its fundamental objective, as you've said. Margaret, maybe just on that point that Patrick has raised on dispute settlement, what is Namibia doing?
I think there are reviews now that Namibia is still looking at, and it's all falling under the ambit of this new investment promotion facilitation bill and how we're going to manage that. So we have had discussions as well around the BITs. We've had discussions around the New York as well as Washington conventions. What are we going to do? And I think it's still a conversation that's being held at government level. How do we want to manage it, and how are we going to take care of these arbitrations? For now, I think we'll handle it as it is. You know, the status quo will apply until government makes a different decision.
I think one of the last questions, maybe just to both yourself and Margaret, is if you had one key piece of advice for a potential investor currently evaluating, should I come to Namibia? I think if they're not convinced by the policy changes and all the other things that has been done to date, what else would you tell them to say, come to Namibia? Namibia is open for business. Maybe starting with Patrick and then ending with Margaret.
Engage as early and align with policy as much as law. Namibia is shaping its regulatory frameworks in real time, especially in energy and extractives. Investors who approach the government as partners in policy implementation, whether that's local content, empowerment, or renewable energy, are far more likely to secure stable, long-term operating environments. Legal compliance is essential, but policy alignment is what creates resilience and goodwill.
Margaret, your take?
The opportunities are very evident. And if you do come, please register your investment with the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board and allow us to take you through the process to create a seamless process for you to do your investment in the country.
Thank you to both of you, Patrick and Audit. Really appreciate it. It was a truly fascinating and opportunistic look at Namibia's investment landscape. We've heard about the record-breaking FDI, the clear strategy for diversified growth, the critical importance of expert legal guidance to turn that potential into reality by Margaret from the NIPDP, Patrick from CDH Namibia. Thank you both for your invaluable time and insights today. For our listeners wanting to dig deeper, you can find the full FDI report on the NIPDB and Bank of Namibia websites. And to learn more about Cliffdekker Hofmeyr's capabilities in Namibia, you can visit our website at cliffdekkerhofmeyr.com.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.